Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week.
I am honored to have the opportunity to read or offer Pastor Dan's message in his absence today. I have prayed that the Holy Spirit will work through me today to convey what Dan prepared for us and what God knows we need to hear. I'm going to begin by reading Dan's story from his perspective. Each year, I am allotted 2 weeks study leave as a part of my call as a Presbyterian pastor. I almost never use much of it and should make it a goal to use more. My colleagues often find a cabin somewhere out at a retreat center. I often find myself in a seminary library. As I'm driving to the library from here in Maryland, I'm often excited, thinking about all the new topics I can study in one place with actual books in hand. And there are wonderful coffee shops and hole-in-the-wall restaurants in this college town with college student prices. Great fun. And then I realize, around day two, I'm really lonely. I don't know anyone here. Even though I am surrounded by the possibility for exciting intellectual adventure, yes, I am talking about a library, because I am that nerdy, it's lonely to move around a place, surrounded by people, but nonetheless alone. Have you ever experienced this feeling? One of the habits that our family developed over the years was that we would eat dinner together and then sort of naturally disperse after the kitchen was cleaned up. Not an intention, just a pattern that sort of happened. Our girls might have homework, one of us might read, one of us might want to watch a show or practice an instrument. No problem with that, really, but the footnote is that we are technically alone within the same house. Lately, we've made an intention of just inhabiting the same room together for a time. Even if we are on devices and one of us is watching something and another is reading, we are still sharing the same space. And what we find is what you might expect. We stop and have casual conversations. We visit and laugh together. The key word is together. Forgive me for how elementary this is, but when we are together, we are not alone. So of course, this cultivates a greater sense of closeness. Seems so basic. We are just recovering something that we lost without realizing it. Actually, one of the greatest assurances a human being can be offered is that they are not alone. Mother Teresa was actually acutely aware of this and spoke about it often. One of her quotes goes like this: "The greatest disease in the West today is not TB or leprosy. It is being unwanted, unloved, and uncared for." We can cure physical diseases with medicine, but the only cure for loneliness, despair, and hopelessness is love. There are many in the world who are dying for a piece of bread, but there are many more dying for a little love. In his wisdom, Jesus knows this is true on a spiritual level. He knows he is about to leave his disciples. They have been bathed in his presence daily, spiritually nourished and encouraged and strengthened. What will happen when he leaves? How will they not feel abandoned? He has a plan. Let's listen. In John 14, on the evening of the Last Supper, Jesus tells his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. I will not leave you orphaned, he says. I'm not going to abandon you. I am sending an advocate to be with you. This word advocate is a wonderful word in Greek, and Dan spent some time studying this word. It only appears in this form in one other book, and that is 1 John, where we are told that when we sin, it is Jesus who is our advocate. There was one other saying in the three other Gospels that uses a form of the word in a similar way, indicating an advocate, a resource for help. Scholar Dale Bruner, in his commentary on the Gospel of John, notes that the word literally means the one called alongside. So translators use helper, counselor, comforter, in addition to advocate in English translations. Bruner recounts that he struggled over what term to use in his translation as a scholar. He finally settled on two terms, the encourager and also the true friend. So what again does the encourager, the true friend, do? Well, we go back to verse 16. The true friend will be with us forever. Verse 17, the true friend will abide with us and in us. And later on in verse 26, the true friend will teach us and remind us of Jesus' words. As we think through this, here is a question. Do you move through your day with the recognition that the Holy Spirit is with you? Pastor Dan shares that as he looks at his own life, that is a theological belief he holds, yet he needs reminders that it is actually true in real time, especially if he gets distracted by something concerning or foreboding. On the website Preaching Today, he was reminded of a story from C.S. Lewis's book, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, where a young girl, Lucy, her brother Edmund, and their cousin Eustace are taken to Narnia, where the Christ figure is a lion named Aslan. The three of them go on a voyage and come to the island where dreams come true. But this is also where nightmares come true. The ship's crew is overcome by fear and begin to wildly row in the darkness. Each sailor hears a different terrifying noise, huge scissors, enemies crawling up the side of the ship, and gongs. So what does Lucy do? In the book, she calls out to Aslan, who is the Christ figure in the Narnia stories. Lucy prays, "Aslan, Aslan, if ever you loved us at all, send us help now." The darkness did not grow any less, but she began to feel a little, a very, very little, better. After all, nothing has really happened to us yet, she thought. A ray of light falls on the ship, and Lucy sees something in it, like a cross. It is an albatross. The albatross circles them three times, lands on their mast, and then flies ahead of them, leading their ship out of the darkness. But no one except Lucy knew that as the albatross circled the mast, it had whispered to her, "Courage, dear heart." And the voice was Aslan's. In a few moments, the darkness turned into a grayness ahead. Then, almost before they dared to begin hoping, they had shot out into the sunlight and were in the warm blue world again. And all at once, everybody realized that there was nothing to be afraid of and never had been. Through the activity of the true friend, the Holy Spirit ensures that we are never without the presence of God. And because God is three in one, never divided, God the Father is always with us. Christ the Son is always with us. God the Spirit is always with us. Jesus also reminds his disciples that the true friend, the encourager, will help us keep his commandments. Broadly speaking, we can think of this as living out his teachings, bringing his love and goodness and righteousness to our own lives and society at large. Now, this could be complicated. Are we going to memorize all of Jesus' teachings so we can walk around with a rubric or spreadsheet and point out opportunities to check off the ones we lived out? Or could it be more intuitive than that? Could it be that the Spirit will prompt us and speak to us and lead us into creative ways to make those teachings live today? Blogger Heather Burke Cody writes, "I was thrift shopping for dorm stuff. The cashier appeared to be one of the most unhappy, maddest people ever. I was six people deep in the line, and it seemed like she got more and more exasperated with each passing customer. She was especially incensed when one of my unmarked items needed a price check. But she rang up my items. As she rang up my items, I felt a soul nudge. I tried to bargain with Jesus and told him that that extra little bit of cash in the backside of my wallet was not meant for her. It surely should go to someone sweeter and kinder, more deserving, or at least appreciative, maybe? Not someone downright mean and angry." But God did not budge. The human heart is our very best compass. It rarely leads us astray. So I paid my bill and reluctantly found the backside of my wallet. I slipped her some cash as she handed me my receipt. She was caught off guard by the gesture. She gripped the folded bill with one hand and paused, then slid her mask down with her other hand. Her loud, stern voice got quiet when she whispered a single word, "Why?" To which I answered two words back, "Soul nudge." There was another pause, a brief reckoning of sorts, when she grabbed my hand and held on. I was the one caught off guard. "Today's my 75th birthday, and ain't nobody called me. Not my sister, not none of my kids, none of these people here, nobody, nothing. I don't think I can remember ever being so sad. Ain't nobody even remembers it's my birthday." But the Spirit remembered and initiated a ministry movement through this woman, Heather. The Spirit prompts us to keep and demonstrate the ways of Jesus and helps us live out his teachings of righteousness and compassion in real space and time. What does your life look like right now? Where are the clouds? Where are the storms? The disciples would be entering a maelstrom of fear and worry shortly after Jesus spoke these words. Yet they were never alone. And eventually, they came to know in a revolutionary way that God was among them, powerfully so. We are never alone, and we can come to know that God is always with us, powerfully so. The disciples could also be a clueless bunch at times. They were not filled with confidence and competency. They were ordinary people, but the Spirit guided them, just as Jesus said the Spirit would, to do extraordinary things after his resurrection and ascension, to change the world forever. That was the work of the Spirit through the disciples. How is the Spirit, our true friend, working among us to encourage us today? How is the Spirit leading us to live out the teachings of Jesus and to reach out to the world around us? Let's see. Let's ask. We pray, Lord, with gratitude for your Holy Spirit, the advocate, the encourager, our true friend. We thank you for always being with us, so we are never truly alone. We pray that you would remind us of and nudge our souls and lead us into creative ways on how to make Jesus' teachings live today. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.